We're here to talk to Javier about the Aotearoa Liberators poster exhibition. So first of all, just the basics on the exhibition, when and where?
Well, the exhibition opens tomorrow.
Yep.
At the museum, you know, the Raglan Museum. And the opening is at 5:30, so everyone is welcome for that. It pays to RSVP to the museum, you know, info@raglanmuseum.com will be good to do, but otherwise just turn up, you know. Colin Chong is going to do some food, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it should be a nice gathering, you know.
Okay, so, and this is not new work, this is... I was going to say historical, but that's not the word I'm looking for either.
Well, the museum reckons that it is historical.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, right. So that's why they want to do it again, you know, because we exhibited there 10 years ago. The project...
But that wasn't brand new then either, was it, 10
no,
years ago?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't, yeah. Because the first time we... Well, when we printed and exhibited this for the first time was in 2007, so...
Right, okay. But even having said that, one of the posters is of Eva Rickard, who died when?
I'm not
long
sure.
Long time before 2007, this is my point.
Right.
Yeah, and you're telling me off the air about how that one came about and who she wanted to do the work. So that must have been done in the 80s or
90s? Eva was alive in this... this millennium, I think, you know.
Okay.
We need to check that one out.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Now I'm worried. Yeah. But anyway, tell us the story about that picture, just to give people the perspective that.
The picture. Me. Now that you make me think about it, you know, I don't know if it was Eva herself or Angeline who said that the only reason, the only condition for her to be part of the project or to have Eva as part of the project is to have Jenny Rhodes as the artist, who is obviously a local, well-known and loved artist from Whangaroa.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go for the big picture of the exhibit. It's posters about liberation, I guess that's like... Yeah, and we've just pulled up on the computer. Eva Rickard's.
What was wrong? What died 1997?
Yeah.
Last millennium. Sorry.
Yeah. So you must have been talking to Angeline, her daughter. About,
yeah, I'm sure it was Angeline.
Yeah. So the big picture for the project: why posters and why the liberation theme?
Well, long history, but. I always love posters, you know. I had started a collection when I was working in Mexico in the cinema magazine that I was putting together for the Cineteca Nacional. And, my love for posters is legendary, if you like. You know, I have a good collection. And one thing I love about posters is that not what they say, a highbrow. You know, some people don't feel really comfortable about going to a gallery and looking at abstract art or whatever, you know, but posters are, everyone can relate to them, you know, and they convey a good message. And I happened to go to Havana because of a friend who I met here in at the Waikato University, Cookie Blanco, who's gone now. And she used to work for the printers. She used to do I don't know if it was a secretary or administrative role for the legendary printers, really, you know. And so when I went to Cuba first, I went to see them, and they kind of didn't have work at the time. So I was a researcher at Wintec, and I kind of created a job for them, you know.
Oh, okay. So what's their story?
The story of the printers.
The printers, well, yeah. So this is a printing company, factory.
Well, yes. Yeah, not
a factory.
A workshop.
Workshop,
basically.
Bit of a phrase, yeah.
And they are the ones who printed just about everything for since the Cuban Revolution, you know.
Okay.
So they have a big campaigns in Cuba for people to learn to read and write after the revolution, you know. Was an amazing campaign and was basically based on posters that were put everywhere in the country. And also they did some fantastic print designs for films, because in Cuba, they love movies, you know. It could be Hollywood, it could be Chinese, or it could be Japanese, or whatever. And they always do their own posters, because when you have a film here or anywhere in the world, they usually send the reels with the film and posters to promote the movie. But the Cubans never use the posters. They do their own designs, and there are some fabulous designs, you know. And they do screen printing, which is kind of a hand job, you know. You don't need high technology, which they don't have high technology, you know. They didn't then, and I still, the printers today don't have a computer in their
really?
It is amazing, you know. So all the communication with them was through telephone, you know. So it was not easy, but
Actually,
so that's the reason for the posters, really.
Yeah. So, and you talk about it's not highbrow. Does it also have a freeing effect on the artist that they're making a poster, that there's going to be less judgment in what they're doing, or external judgment on what they're doing?
I don't know. I don't know, because it really conveys a message, you know. So it maybe some of the artists were kind of very serious about it, you know. They took it very seriously. It wasn't kind of, this is just a poster, you know. I think on the contrary, because they were mostly used to do the fine artwork, you know.
Yeah.
So for them, the poster was something different, and I think they weren't that, it was difficult for some of them, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Mm, yeah.
So they had, maybe they had grown comfortable with their style and their approach.
And some of them, like the beautiful late Caterina Mataira, you know, it wasn't really familiar with the printing process, you know. Same goes for Jenny Rhodes, you know. So they give me the sketches, they give me the drawings, and I have it translated to be able to be printed, if you like, you know.
So it's how many color print was it?
Well, it's various, you know, like it could go up to five inks, you know. Yep, so it could be any number of inks, really, you know. Okay. I suggested no more than four, but, you know, just to make easier the job for the printers, you know.
But okay, it's easy for the printers, but the artist has to, well, you were doing the conversion of the art into posters.
Some of them.
So which one did you, did two, didn't you? Which one did you do?
Well, I did the Tane Mahuta, because that was kind of the beginning of the project, and without that, project wouldn't exist, you know, because it was the first one who opens, the first liberator, if you like, the one who gives us life here in Aotearoa. Mm. And the other one was Te Fiti, because I thought if it's any liberator in this country, it's been Te Fiti, you know. And nobody was kind of a game enough to do it, so I went to Parihaka and talked to Temiringa Hohaya and asked for permission, and yeah, he gave me the go-ahead. And actually, the posters were exhibited at Parihaka's International Peace Festival.
Okay, so we don't know enough. It's not taught, well, maybe it is being taught in schools now, but the story of Parihaka and Te Fiti and the people then, that should be the biggest legend in this country, I feel.
Yeah, it is. It's really amazing to think that they were the first ones who were the peaceful resistance, you know, like before Gandhi.
The people who inspired Gandhi.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I discovered that.
Yeah.
Because Gandhi is a legendary figure throughout the world.
Yeah, and he seems to have the label that he invented, the Pacific resistance, but Te Fiti and his people did it before.
Yeah. And people in India know this history better than maybe we do.
Yeah, I think that should be taught in the schools for sure. You
yeah,
know? Yeah,
yeah,
it's a good story.
Yeah, it was Caterina Mataira, or her daughter, who's, we should explain, there's two Caterina Matairas. One has passed on.
Yes.
And she's the one who did the poster.
Correct.
We still have Caterina Mataira involved with Te Maurito here in Whangaroa at the moment. I say at the moment as if... She is imminently to leave us, but that's not what I meant to imply. So who else did you have as artists?
Well, it was James Ormsby, who is a fantastic artist. He's now in Tauranga, yeah. Well, Dion Hitchens, which you probably have seen some of his sculptures, is basically a sculpture.
Oh, yeah.
In the new areas of Hamilton, he's got some wakas in a kind of a roundabout.
Oh, okay.
Josh Watene, who at the time was working at the museum as a graphic designer, and he was my student before that.
Okay.
Nicola Farquhar and also Warren Olds, that they're a couple, and they used to work at WinTech teaching design, you know. Tessa Laird, who is a good artist, is now working and teaching in Melbourne. Jenny Rhodes, who is not very well at the moment. She's in Hamilton with a bit of dementia, I'm afraid, you know.
Yeah.
Leafa Wilson, who was a curator at the Waikato Museum, and she just recently retired. And John Bywater was involved by writing a really beautiful essay.
Okay.
And Terita Papesh, who did all the translations to Tereo.
And they mostly have done posters on characters, like individual people, or some of them are more legends like Maui. How did they choose, or did you choose for them and say, "I want you to do a poster"?
No, they chose. You know, I asked them to come up with a liberator or an activist that resonate with them personally. You know, so all of them have kind of a direct relation with the people that they are portraying. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And why the liberators? We didn't talk about that. Why is this important? Liberation.
Cuba, you know, and I started the work, started in Cuba, well, it was printed in Cuba, so I thought that will inspire the printers as well, you know.
Yes.
And it's part of, I think as an artist, I always felt, you know, that is a really good medium to pass messages across, you know. And it's almost like yesterday I did a radio show about Harry Belafonte, who he reckons he was a he was a liberator or an activist who happened to have a good voice, you know. So, so using art as to convey messages of activism and liberation, I think is a really good medium. And I always trying to, not always, but I will try to do that, you know. Mm.
And so, 2007, they made the posters. But this is also art. Do you do it? How does it work? Do you do a limited run? Can people still get a poster? Like, how does all that work?
We did a run of 50.
50 per, and there are 12 of them?
Yeah, and there's 12 posters. So we did a run of 50 each, which are numbered and signed by the artist. You know,
yeah.
The artist got paid, if you like, with a couple of sets for each one. You know,
yeah.
So some went that way. You know, other ones have been. Sometimes sold, sometimes distributed to places like the Waikato University has a set, the Waikato Museum, National Thurnberg Library, you know, got Royal Scottish Academy, you know.
Really?
It's got a set, yes.
How did they get a set?
Because I went there to do a talk and I exhibited them, and they instead of bringing them back, I donated to them. You left. Know?
Yeah, well, yeah. The Scots have a feel for liberation, pretty sure.
They do, not as much as the Irish, but...
but still, well, they feel the need for liberation, I think, is they're so close to the English. And I've just... When I was searching before, this is the National Library website, so it's also listed in there. And so I presume there's no more left. You must have a set.
Yeah, I do. I do have a set, and the set that I'm exhibiting is my set. I donated another set to the museum 10 years ago when we exhibited, and I don't know, they feel that it's so precious that they want to keep them in storage, you know?
All right.
So I'm going to use one of my sets in order to exhibit them. And by the way, yes, I have about 3 sets still, you know, with me that I will be happy to sell to someone
for the right price.
Institution for the right price. That's correct, you know. Yeah.
So obviously around Aotearoa, this became reasonably well known because it's on the National Library website and in, you know...
Yeah, and it's been exhibited in Christchurch and in Waiheke and in, obviously in Hamilton, in Raglan. And worldwide, it's had a really good, good drone, you know.
Yeah.
He's been in Cuba, he's been in Croatia, he's been in Spain in a couple of really good museums.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in Denmark, you know. So
how does that happen that they get exhibited in museums in these countries?
Basically, I've been I was a researcher for WinTech, you know, and I went to do some talks, and one of my pet subjects had been posters, yeah, and it also has been conventions about print art prints. So I proposed that project, and I go and do a talk about it, really, you know, and come with the posters and show them, you know, yeah.
Okay, and so I should recap. I think that's what we should do. We're talking to Javier Miade, who is one of our DJs as well, but he's here as a guest on the morning show because of the poster project Aotearoa Liberators. And opening tomorrow, Tuesday evening?
Yeah, tomorrow, 5:30 is the opening, and it will be open until, well, we'll be in the museum, I think, until the 15th of July.
So we're talking quite a while.
And just one thing I want to say, the way that show works is that we have the poster, but next to it, we have the text, because every artist not only designed the poster, but need to write about the subject of the poster. Yeah. So basically the viewers, you know, it's like looking at a big book, you know, because the text will also be there. And talking about the text, we did a publication, you know, a catalog, A4 size catalog, which I believe is one of, if not the first publication in Aotearoa in three languages, Te Reo Māori, English and Spanish, you know, so it's got the three languages in the book. You know?
That's a unique combination of languages, and they're just down to you, because is that your first language?
Yeah, well, Spanish my first language, and also the Cubans was the first language, you know? And English, because we are here, and obviously the same thing for Te Reo, you know?
Yeah, and is the theme of liberation, does this appear elsewhere in your life?
We did another set of posters, which was called Puracao, which was myths and legends from different countries. One of them was Cuba, another one Mexico, another one New Zealand. And it also kind of, those myths sometimes relate to liberators, you know?
Yeah. Even before, we tend to think of liberation was something that was only required once Europeans started spreading around the world and taking over places. But is it a theme prior to that? Is it a natural theme in human life, do you think?
Well, yes, I think that it's well way before the Europeans start to expand their claws all over the world, you know. It was the Romans before, you know.
Of course. This is true.
So it's been a constant kind of battle, you know, for some people, you know, just as the Palestine, you know, like.
Well, yeah, that's they need some posters. Well, they need more than posters, actually. That's making light of it. But
they have big walls. They can do
the
posters.
Got big walls. Because people actually have been putting. Didn't someone put some art on the big wall?
Yes, they have been doing some something like that. You know, apart from just graffiti. You know.
Yeah, but that's an extremely radical act in that environment, isn't it?
Yeah. Art is always help to liberate, if you like. You know.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why is that?
Because it's a beautiful way to tell stories. You know, to communicate. You know, I think it's a lot more easier to digest than a heavy duty kind of a newspaper. And those news that we get about those terrible things, you know, they usually are pretty ephemeral. You know, they last a few days only, and then they're gone. You know, in which an artwork, you know, stays for a long time. Well, just look at Guernica. You know, the famous Picasso painting about the Civil War. You know, which is one of the most revered paintings of all times. You know, and I think we'll continue to do that. You know,
presumably there were some people who didn't like that painting when it was made.
Yes, of course, the Franquistas, not the right wing kind of the fascists of Spain, you know. But and he was at the United Nations for a while, you know, and then some people didn't like that. So now it is at the Reina Sofia, a beautiful museum in Madrid, you know.
But it's time at the there at the UN that served its purpose, I guess, because it stirred some thoughts.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So well done, whoever got it there.
Well, and for Picasso, you know, who was also not only doing beautiful paintings, but it also, you know, again, you know, an artist trying to tell story, you know, to convey something, to be justice, you know.
Yeah. All right, folks, that was Javier Miyade. Thank you for coming in, Javier.
And gracias, Aaron.
And we should mention your podcast from last night's show is about Harry Belafonte.
Yeah, he died this month, you know.
Yes, we had.
96 he was, you know.
We should do so well.
Yeah, he did well. And he created some, the music is great.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Cheers.